Well, good morning, girls and boys. We're turning once again to Jonah. And of course, it's the chapter 1. We haven't progressed too far down the chapter. But this morning, to introduce what it is we have to say, I'd like to read some verses from the Psalm 107. And of course, you older ones can turn it up. It's Psalm 107 and the verse 23. The verse 23 reads, "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in the great waters." Now that links us to Jonah, doesn't it? But it goes on. "These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wondrous works to the children of men." Those are very, very potent words and tie in very well with what we are studying here in Jonah. We're at verse 4 in Jonah, chapter 1, verse 4. "But the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." And what we read about the sailors there in Psalm 107 would have been exactly the case with those on that ship that Jonah was now a passenger. We who are what they term land lovers, we rarely are on a ship. But because of that, we really know nothing of what it is to be in a storm like that which Jonah was in. What is said in Psalm 107 about the fears of men is exactly what men went through and still go through. For though ships have become technically much safer and have many aids built into them that help them combat storms, nevertheless, there are storms that make sailors today scared very much. Well, how fearful were the men on that little ship on which Jonah was? Today I want to underscore a particular doctrine that is set forth in this verse 4. And the doctrine very simply is this: God is sovereign in the universe. He rules over it all. He rules over everything. He rules over everything right down to the smallest little event. The smallest little event comes about as a result of God commanding it to happen. A little bird comes to the end of its life, falls to the ground. At God's command. At God's command. Not an angel, but God. I want you to get a hold of that, boys and girls, and I want you to ever remember that. Nothing in this world happens without God commanding it. I find that a great comfort, because when trouble comes, as trouble does come, when we run into a storm, and I just don't mean the wind and the thunder and the rain and all that sort of thing, but just a storm of trouble, upset, of sadness. Remember, God, in his sovereign wisdom and mercy, has brought it about. Look to him. Look to him. Asking the question, "Why, Lord? What have I done to bring this about?" Or, "Why are you doing this, Lord? What are you working out in my life that I might submit to it?" But you talk to the Lord, for he's the one who has brought this about. Now, look here. This storm that's referred to in the verse 4, our text, "The Lord sent out a great wind, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea." Here is proof, evidence, undeniable proof of God's power and also the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you have in this verse proof that the Lord Jesus is God. You look at it and you say, where do you see that? Well, remember, when you go to the Bible, you compare Scripture with Scripture. Because in every verse, you'll find a companion of that verse somewhere else in the Bible. And as it were, the other verse will say about the verse you're looking at, that's right, I agree with that. So let me demonstrate what I'm saying. It says in Mark chapter 4 and the verse 41, and here we're quoting the disciples, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who were they talking about? The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. It's the event of him being in the vessel. The disciples thinking that the storm that had suddenly broken out on the Sea of Galilee was going to sink the vessel and they were going to perish. And they were all alarmed. And the Lord Jesus just stood up, spoke a word, and the wind obeyed him, and the sea obeyed him. So you can see that Mark chapter 4 and the verse 41 is saying about Jonah chapter 1 and the verse 4, amen. That's right. I agree with it. Because the same person is spoken of in both verses. It's the Lord at work. The Lord sent out a great wind onto the sea in the days of Jonah, showing that he controlled the sea and controlled the wind, because he's God. And in the days of the Lord Jesus, some hundreds and hundreds and about 800 years later, the Lord Jesus, who is God, shows the same power that day on the Lake of Galilee. You see, boys and girls, I want you to understand this. God controls the whole universe. In Judges, the chapter 5, you have the record of a battle. Israel is fighting an enemy. It was in the days of Deborah and Barak. And they were fighting a most cruel enemy who had come into the land and had dominated the land, brought the people of Israel into captivity, and were treating them most cruelly. He was called Sisera. But at God's command, Barak, along with Deborah, for Barak wouldn't go to the battle without the company of Deborah. He says, you must come with me. And then, in the chapter 5, the battle's over, and they're singing. Deborah and Barak, they sing a duet. And what a lovely duet it is. And in the chapter 5 of Judges, look please at the verse 20. Oh, sometimes we think that the Old Testament saints didn't know very much, but in truth, they knew an awful lot more than most Christians know today. Listen to what they say, verse 20. Concerning the battle, they fought from heaven, the stars in their courses fought against Sisera. Just think on that. You see, God helped Israel. They wouldn't have won without his help. And in helping Israel, God caused even the stars to help. Now you know that we could stand here and begin to recite many instances where we see the same thing happening. Do you remember in Egypt when the Lord came to deliver his people? And he sent his armies, as it were, against Egypt. And who were the soldiers that he sent? Flies. He sent flies. He sent disease among animals. He sent hail out of the sky. And that was only part of the army. And there wasn't one thing that the defense force of Egypt could do against God's soldiers. You can't fight flies. Well, you fight one wee fly and swat it. But if there's millions and millions and millions of them, not a thing you can do about it. And if you go through the Bible, you'll find the Lord sending forth the creatures of this earth at his command to overthrow his enemies. Locusts, lion, bears. They all did God's bidding. They all did God's bidding. So I want you to remember, boys and girls, that God's on the throne. He rules in the universe, and he can bring any part of his creation into action to accomplish his will and his purpose amongst men. And listen, the chances are, I'm looking down on those who will see the greatest display of God's power the world has ever known. It's very possible you will see it. For before the Lord Jesus returns to this earth in power and glory, there's going to be things happen, the like of which men have never seen before. You will see, if you're alive then, that God's on the throne, and he can command the powers of the universe to go forth and accomplish his will. Now learn something else. God's controversy, God's argument, God's dispute with Jonah, because Jonah was doing the wrong thing, he was disobeying God, and God was dealing with him. Well, this dispute involved others, because you see, on the ship, there were others who now found themselves in the middle of this confrontation between God and Jonah, the sailors. What do we read? Verse 4, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners," or the seamen, "were afraid. And they cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares," or the cargo, "that were in the ship, into the sea, to lighten it." So God's dispute with Jonah is now involving others. There's a lesson to be learned there, boys and girls. I have to say, just in case you're thinking, well, was that fair, that God's dispute was with Jonah? Why should the poor old sailors get involved in it all? But if you read what's written here, you don't find one sailor saying, this is not fair. But rather, you find the sailors, in the verse 5, "They were afraid and cried every man unto his God." Now, these were pagan men. What were they crying unto their God about? I would say, first and foremost, they were saying, we're sorry. They didn't understand what was happening, but the trouble that came made them think about all the sins that they had committed. Made them remember the bad language they had used. Made them remember the bad company they had kept. Made them remember all the bad deeds they had done. Not one of them said, we don't deserve this. But every one of them cried unto his God in a spirit of penitence. They knew, as men always do when they're in danger of death. They always think on their sin. They always know, I have done wrong. I have offended God. Now these poor men didn't quite understand who it was sending the storm. They were thinking of their gods. But the point is, they were thinking of their sins and crying to their gods for pardon and for mercy. So that everyone in that ship was guilty of wrongdoing. And there wasn't one of them complaining that this was unfair. They all recognized that there was in their lives that which deserved the judgment of God. The word afraid there in verse 5, they were afraid, it means they were in awe, they were in reverence. They recognized that a divine power was at work and confronting them, and they were bowed in the presence of such power, and they were instantly aware of their guilt. That's how it is, boys and girls. I can tell you this. I can remember clearly. In my unsaved days, I used to have a habit of crashing my car. And in that little instant, just before the car crashed, into my mind, there came the thought, yes, Lord, I deserve this. Now, whatever else I was thinking about at that moment and wrestling with the steering wheel and all the rest of it, I still thought, yes, Lord, I deserve this. I brought it on myself. When men face trouble, though they may not come out and openly tell others that they deserve the trouble, in their heart they know their own guilt, that they have offended God, and God is right to send them trouble. Go a little further and notice that this involving of others in this dispute with God adds to the guilt of Jonah. Oh yes, there's no doubt that the sailors were men that lived in sin, and they deserved to be dealt with by God in judgment. But alongside that is the fact they would not have encountered the storm that they did if they had not Jonah on board. It was he who brought this storm to them. Let me tell you, boys and girls, you will not sin without bringing trouble to others. We like to think of ourselves as being able to live secret little lives, doing things that no others know about. But that's not the case. When we offend God, we bring upon us his displeasure. And wherever we go, we bring that displeasure with us, and it affects others. It impacts on others. The supreme example of what I'm saying is Adam. Adam sinned about 6,000 years ago. It's a long time ago. But it had an impact on you. You today are what you are with regards your sin and your trouble and your afflictions and your weaknesses, physical weaknesses, your sickness and death that eventually overtakes us all. That's all come as a result of Adam sinning. And what fathers do when they do wrong has an impact upon their children, upon their family. Not just their children, but their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren and their great-great-grandchildren. Sin is followed by hundreds and hundreds of years of trouble if there is not a seeking of the Lord for mercy. If there's not a seeking of the Lord for mercy. Boys and girls, this truth ought to be a great deterrent in our life. We ought to think of this whenever we think of committing a sin, doing something that's wrong. We ought to say, but this will have an impact on my father, on my mother, on my brothers, on my sisters, on my friends. We do not live unto ourselves. We do not live in such a fashion as only to have an influence on ourselves. We influence others. Why are you wearing masks today? In order to avoid infecting others. Should you happen to have the COVID virus? I don't think any of you do have. But we're taking precautions. And so we wear a mask to stop infecting others. Well, we should wear a mask so as to not infect others with the consequences of our wrongdoing. We should not sin against the Lord because it will have an impact on others. It will have an impact on others. The other side of the coin is that if we live holy lives, we bring blessing and happiness and joy to others. Every one of you here today enjoy privileges, benefits, blessings that have come to you as a result of you having a godly mother, a godly father. Their seeking to serve God and obey God has brought into your life a path, a course of action that has resulted in you attending a Christian school and hearing the Word of God. What a benefit that is. You don't maybe realize it, but I hope soon that you will as you grow older. But at this moment there is shining down from heaven upon you a ray of sunshine that isn't shining on so many, many other boys and girls out there. You're sitting under the blessing of the Lord because of the obedience of those who love you. So bear that in mind. How we live will affect others. If we live in sin, we'll bring a blight upon others. I'll close with reading to you from the Acts of the Apostles, the chapter 27. And it's a bit like what it is we have been reading about in Jonah chapter 1, verse 18. This is the Mediterranean. It's the same sea that Jonah was sailing on. And a storm has come and has overtaken the ship on which Paul was being taken to Rome as a prisoner. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, just like Jonah's sailors. They threw the cargo overboard. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Every bit of equipment, throw it overboard. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul, not eating, but praying. After long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, was the Lord Jesus, whose I am, and whom I serve. Well, that indicates, doesn't it, that it was the Lord Jesus, this angel of God, because he's the one that Paul served and to whom Paul belonged.
The angel of God said, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee."
So Paul, being on that boat, brought deliverance, brought salvation from death by drowning to all that was on that boat. Paul's presence brought a blessing to them all. And so whatever has been, where there's a saintly, holy person, they will bring a godly blessing to all around them. But where you find someone living in sin and defiance of God, they will bring God's judgment and wrath with them, and it will affect others. You remember that. You bear that in mind. And when you're tempted to sin, just you remember, this will hurt others if I do wrong. You and I are going to heaven today, if you're saved, because of the work of someone else, even the Lord Jesus. What he did brought us blessing. We're sheltering under him, and will enjoy eternal life as a result of our being linked to him. There's a lesson here, especially for you older ones. Take it in today and meditate upon it. Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that you will bless your word. Ah, we speak in weakness, Lord. But, O God, we praise thee for the Holy Spirit who is able to take man's poor, feeble words and apply them wonderfully to the hearts of even the youngest. Bless our school today and keep us all safe. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.